Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And our topic today is going to be Babylon, the city of Babylon. We have a special guest, Brenda Johnson of As the Day Approaches, and it's going to be a great program. A very timely topic, I believe, so stay tuned for that. I'll be bringing my guest on shortly. And I just want to mention to you that we just posted a new YouTube video. It's about Paula White and the church that she had in Lakeland, Florida. It seats over 9,000 people, and it's now been left deserted, the property, and fallen. Some of the buildings have been vandalized. Anyway, that is there for you at our YouTube channel, Jonah, T for Tom 48, and we also have a website, propheticnews.com, so you can go there and read. We have hundreds of articles there, links to different websites. And that information will bless you and help you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, we also are here every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, usually for 1 hour. And we thank God for this opportunity to bring the gospel forth. And this is one of my favorite Bible teachers coming on now, Brenda, and I know that I'm going to learn something today.
thank you. Excuse my voice today. I have a cold today, so.
I guess you've been having some cold weather.
We've had cold and nice weather. It's really nice today, so. But I just get the joy of sharing what I the women are having at work. So
that's what happens.
Yeah, that's right. Share.
Colds do spread.
Well, I don't get any of the stomach viruses or anything like that. I get the lung stuff that comes along because that's my weakness. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Thank goodness.
You can't be a hermit, right?
No, I work with over 100 women, so yeah.
Oh.
I'm a women's advocate at a domestic violence shelter, so I work with women of all types and places that they all come for the same reason, domestic violence. So I work with them every day, well, 5 days a week, I should say. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a blessing.
Yeah. Yes, it's a real ministry.
Yeah, it is.
Even though I'm limited in sharing the gospel, it's still a real ministry, and God brings me opportunities a lot. So it's great to be there. So
yeah, that's a good profession to have, is helping women so that they don't get pushed around and beat up. And that's a big problem today.
Yep, it is. It's a,
and
it's not just in this nation, it's everywhere. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I've been doing it I've been working there for about 3.5 years. I'm going on my 4th year. So, and I work at night and in, you know, the night shift, which I like because I get the opportunity to really talk to the women. In the day, it's real busy with all the staff. And then at night, because that's where they live there, they come in and they'll talk. And that's when we have our real opportunity to sit down one-on-one, because they know that they can. So it's good. I like it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, you're a blessing. You're easy to talk to, so it must be a real blessing for them to have you there to minister to them and to have that love of God and that compassion that they probably need so desperately.
Yep, that's right. Taking a drink, sorry.
That's okay. Brenda has a wonderful program on Blog Talk Radio as the day approaches, and you can go to Blog Talk Radio and just put in the search as the day approaches. She's very, very good at teaching the Bible. You'll learn so much from her, and she's easy to listen to. It's not complicated. I think that sometimes people make a Bible teaching, they try to go way over people's heads, and you can't follow along. But Brenda is easy to listen to, and she really does her homework. She really does study and prepare. So I wanted to talk today, Brenda, about Babylon and also the rebuilding of the city of Babylon. But
right.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing times we live in?
Yes.
I am amazed. Do you know, I did a show on this in June of last year, and I did it in the middle of my shows on Islam. And I was inspired to study Babylon based on what I was reading in Islam. So it's kind of strange that I threw in Babylon in the middle of that series, but it was amazing to see the connection with everything that's going on today. Over 30 years ago, when I was only 15, so hey, I'm 46, for those of you who are wondering how old I am, my uncle, who was a mentor of mine, he's a Christian, and he was one who believed that Babylon would literally be rebuilt. When I was 15, of course, I didn't know much of anything, and so I know, I'm still learning. and I just listened to what he said, and I just, pondered that in my heart for years. So I never really studied it or anything like that. So, but I'm amazed to see in the 30 years that my uncle's thought was kind of, not very common, but now you're seeing a lot of Bible teachers who are actually veering that way of thinking and feeling and determining that Babylon will probably literally be rebuilt. No one 2,000 years ago thought Israel would come out of the desert and become what it is today. So when we would say, maybe 50 years ago, 60 years ago now, that Israel was going to be the thriving nation it is today, we would kind of say, yeah, right. So I'm not really taken back by the fact of thinking that Babylon would literally be rebuilt, because I look at Dubai and I say, wow, they're making a city out of the ocean. They're digging out the ocean, piling it on top of other sand and creating a city like you wouldn't believe. So today I wouldn't be surprised. I tend to lean towards the fact that, I really believe today that it is going to literally be rebuilt. And we have support today to say that. So what does that mean for Bible prophecy? That means, what does that mean for Bible prophecy? We're going to have to watch it all unfold, because, I thought, when I was 15 years ago, I thought I'd be an elder in the day of seeing some of this stuff come to pass. But, you know, I was only 15. So I think, you know, I think of it now and I think, well, gee, I'm seeing more things happen today than I did 30 years ago. Maybe that was the Lord really spurring me on when I was 15 that, yeah, I would probably be in an elder, older, when we would see these things come to pass. So here I am.
An elder, older.
An older, yeah, I know.
Yes.
You know, I thought 15 elder was like somebody who's, you know, really old. So
yeah, really
like
old.
My uncle's in his 80s now, so he's still alive. But
oh.
Yeah, so it's the lady that led me to the Lord when I was 10. So she's still alive.
Oh,
and she's
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. But so, you know, I'm curious to know what, you know, you're curious about Babylon and what is going on with that.
Oh, yes, I'm very curious about it. I'm very curious. But what I wanted to ask you first was, could you give us a little biblical history about ancient Babylon? And I also noticed that in 1 Peter 5:13, there was actually a church at Babylon.
Yeah, their church, well, this church of the sun god was at Babylon. And speaking of the sun god, well, it was really the god of Nimrod, which was the god of, you know, we think the harlot of all of world religion started in Babylon. History of Babylon back in biblical times was started with Nimrod with the Tower of Babel. Babylon is in the area of Mesopotamia near what we see the Gulf of. It was sometimes in Iran, which was Persia, and sometimes in Iraq. Today it's in Iraq because it's right there, kind of not so far from the border of Iran. It's, I don't know how many miles it is, but the Euphrates River is not so, you know, it's near the Tigris and the Euphrates River. But right now it is kind of in the middle where the ruins are, is in the middle of Kufa and Najal, I think is how you say that.
Najal.
Najal, and Kufa and Najal has some very important things going on today with regards to what is happening in the Middle East. So, but Babylon with Nimrod was Babel, and of course we know Babylon from the history of King Nebuchadnezzar, who
So tell our listeners. The Tower of Babel, what happened there?
The Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel is where Nimrod, who was a person we consider, he was called a hunter against the Lord. Some of the translations are not as clear about, you know, they say he is a hunter for the Lord. Well, it really means against the Lord. And what they wanted to do was establish a tower. They wanted to get up to the throne room of God and create their own empire. so they're building to the heavens, and that's why God stated what he said, is that, well, if man gets together, they'll you know, whatever they put their hands to, they'll succeed. So, and he stopped them because what they were trying to do was get themselves to the throne room of God. Of course, we can't go to where God is, but it was the whole entire idea. You know, it's like people saying today, I am God. You know, that means, so, yeah, and it was symbolic. And I'm trying to find my notes here on Nimrod. But he... He was a worshiper of all the old Babylonian gods, which were Baal and Ashtaroth, all came from this particular city. And these were the worship of self. You can say that pagans would come from that. Genesis 10:8-9 is where you find the story. It says, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth, and he drew all people to himself as somebody who they were to follow instead of God himself.
Nimrod, did he marry his mother? Was that the one that married his mother?
It says that he, and you know that the other gods of I can't remember the names of the Horsiris and Isis and all that comes from the Nimrod philosophy. And he was, his name means let's rebel. That's exactly what it means.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a very appropriate name for Nimrod.
Yeah, and he was very good at searching out and persuading men to obey his will. He was powerful in hunting and in wickedness before the Lord, and he was the hunter of the sons of men. So, and he led them to depart from the judgment of the Lord to his judgment. He said, if you don't follow me, you will have my wrath and not God's. So they made him.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like don't touch God's anointed.
Kind of.
Sounds like the same spirit.
Yeah.
How dare you try to correct us with the word of God? Who do you think you are?
Right. And this is all after the flood, after God had already destroyed the earth. You know, he destroyed everybody on the face of the earth, and it was after the flood that this all happened.
Yeah, you think that they would already have had a clue.
Right. But, you know, if you think of Lucifer, who was a cherubim before the throne room, in the throne room of God, who turned away from God and followed evil and became evil, I think that's insanity. How can you be in the throne room of God and rebel like that? So
yeah.
I can see men doing the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
You would think you would know better, you know?
You would think so, but of course we don't see that. Even we see so much going on in what they call the church, and when people say, oh, yes, we're born again, and then they don't act anything like a Christian should ever act. And it puzzles me sometimes because I know the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, and I know what I'm doing wrong. I know it. And how do these people, how do they not know what they're doing is wrong?
I think people know and they don't care. You know,
yeah.
Kind of like Nimrod did not care. So he knew it and he wanted to go that direction. So the city of Babel was the first record of a strong civilized society. So it's one of the strong civilizations that existed in that had a centralized society that drew people there. So it was very prominent in that day. And then when Babylon actually heights with Nebuchadnezzar, God used that country to punish and discipline the children of Israel. And they were all brought into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the world empires back in the 600 BC, the 6th century BC. And Isaiah was in existence at that time. He was the prophet at that time, and so was Jeremiah. Both of them were both at the same time living during that time. And Jeremiah saw all of Israel being destroyed from the time of captivity to even, you know, from the early before captivity. He preached and prophesied against Israel for their sin, and then saw its destruction. Ezekiel also existed at this time. He went into captivity into Babylon. So did Daniel. There's a lot of prophets that were brought into captivity. And actually, Ezekiel went earlier than Daniel did. Ezekiel went with this Assyrian Empire because he also prophesied that Jerusalem itself would fall. So he went before Jerusalem actually fell. And he was prophesying from captivity when he did that. So you have a lot of the prophets, and a lot of the major prophets were alive at that time during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is also the one who started out in Daniel's vision of the statue of the head of gold. And from that empire on down, it speaks of the prophecies of the Assyrian Empire and the Cyrus, the Persian Empire. That's what I was thinking. Persian Empire, and then you see the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire, and then the Ten Toes period. Now, we could go into a study of Daniel, but that's actually not as much in Daniel as it is in Jeremiah and Isaiah that prophesies about Babylon. The reason why people believe that Babylon needs to be rebuilt is because Babylon was never destroyed as the Bible predicted it will be. Said that in Jeremiah.
It will finally be destroyed, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In the history of Babylon, Babylon has never been destroyed.
Oh.
It was like the Roman Empire that had dwindled down in size. It was not destroyed. It was not burnt on fire. It was it had lost its power throughout the centuries. But even when Alexander the Great came through the empires, Babylon was still around. They didn't have.
Oh.
Yes, he wanted
so
to.
What,
make
did
it
just become ruins? Is it just
it became
lying
ruined.
In ruins now?
Right. So it was never, and that's why some people are saying now that it has to be rebuilt because it hasn't been, the prophecies about Babylon has not been fulfilled.
Yeah.
So let me see if I can find the some of the scriptures I have up here. And it says, they shall, in Jeremiah 51:26, it says, they shall not take of thee a stone or a corner, nor stone for the foundations, but thou shalt be desolate forever, says the Lord. This is what it's saying about the destruction of Babylon. Now, if we look at Babylon today, we would say, well, that's a fulfillment because nobody is living there, but people have been living there since Babylon has existed. It's just that it's become down to ruins. Arabs have always camped there, and it said Arabs will not camp there. The stones from the Empire of Babylon and the buildings in Babylon have been used in other cities in Iraq. So it says that not a stone or corner or a stone of foundation shall be left, or that it will be used anywhere else. They have been used on other buildings in other cities. That's what happened, is they carried away a lot of the stones. And it was a gradual deterioration of the city. And it started off, let me see if I can see where it started off here. Let's see. I'm trying to get to some of the history. When Babylon in 539 BC was taken over by Cyrus the Persian, he did not destroy the city. Some thought he might have, but he did not. And he restored many of the temples which had been prescribed and were functioning at the close of the Neo-Babylonian period. So Cyrus, when he took over and came in to the city to conquer Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, he did not destroy the city. Babylon was furnished with more important buildings throughout the years. And then Herodotus, the Greek historian, in 5th century BC, visited it and found it in glorious condition. This is a record. Yes. So it wasn't destroyed then, even though it was taken over.
Yeah. Does it have anything to do with Jezebel?
Babylon? The mystery Babylon that speaks of in Revelation has to do more with the harlot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to do with Jezebel, no. Of course, Jezebel had to do with Elijah. That was Elijah and Ahab. It was one of the most wicked kings other than King Manasseh was the most wicked king of Judah.
Oh, Manasseh.
Manasseh was the king that God said, judgment is coming, and I will not refrain from judgment upon Israel.
Oh, wow.
The reason why Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah.
Oh.
Who wanted to live for another 13 years. He was going to die. God said he was going to die, and he said, no, please let me live. And so he lived for another 12, 13.
He turned his face to the wall. That was one of my favorite scriptures. I mean, it still is, because I could feel his heart crying out to God.
But you think in the 13 years, King Manasseh was born.
Oh.
So that's when Manasseh was born, and he became the most wicked king.
Oh.
But even though his son Josiah went through the city to clean the city and found the law and all that stuff, God's judgment still came on the land. So, Israel had its times of wicked kings and godly kings, you know, throughout their history. But Babylon is prophesied to be completely and utterly destroyed by God. It is a city that God will come down and consume, like Sodom and Gomorrah. And it hasn't been done yet, according to Scripture.
Yeah.
Even in 330 BC, Alexander the Great wanted to make it a political and economic and religious center for himself, because of what significance of Babylon was in history. And it was still there. And it was only in the gradual demise when the Seleucus kings came in that it started to deteriorate, because Seleucus forcibly moved all the inhabitants from the city, except for some of the priests there, because he wanted to move up the river Tigris about 15 miles. So he took all the people in the city and all the empire of Babylon and moved it to another city. And that's when it really fell apart. And that's why we see it as we see it today. So that's the demise of Babylon in history. So we have a lot of theologians that are saying, well, gee, either the prophets were wrong, or this desolate city of Babylon that we see today will rise again. So
yes, and it is, and it is.
And it is. It is.
So
and
it is.
The United States is part of supporting and
funding
the
rebuilding.
Wow. Just this year, we committed $2 million to send to Iraq to rebuild Babylon.
Oh.
And this is just in November of this year.
Oh.
We've done it before, but not as much money. But we've done it before. And I wanted to, I was looking today to find out if there's any recent articles that are out about what's happening in Babylon, especially with somebody who's not favorable to Scripture, especially those who don't even like Christians and don't think about the last days. And I found an article written by the Huffington Post. Woohoo!
Oh.
They're the most liberal organization.
Yeah, very liberal.
Yes.
Extremely
and they,
liberal.
Yes.
And they don't like Christians.
They don't. And they talked about rebuilding not only Babylon, but that's going to be the first city that they're going to do, that the world wants to do as an example for all the other historical cities of biblical times. They want to restore that city of Babylon and make it the height in which it was back in its day. And then they want to go to the city of Ur and refurbish that city. They, you know, so these cities in Iraq, they're trying to revive. And this person who wrote this article said she would be one of the first ones to visit to see this historical city come back to life. So we're having people saying that, yes, we're doing this, and we're doing it as a tourist. We're going to bring back the artifacts. We're going to bring it back to its day. And we're going to make it the envy of all the world to see. And that's happening today. Yes, that was just this January, just a few days ago that was posted.
Oh.
So,
well, there's actually some photographs of the rebuilding. Saddam Hussein.
There,
now, tell us, I do have a question in the chat room, but let me ask you this first. Saddam Hussein was rebuilding Babylon.
Correct, he was. And he thought he was the Nebuchadnezzar of his, you know, he wanted to be the Nebuchadnezzar. But Saddam Hussein was not even truly Muslim. So we, as the United States, helped get rid of Saddam Hussein. But it was also a move by Islam. It's probably the thing that started the revolution in that area, part of it. Other than the Iranian revolution in the 70s, Iraq getting rid of Saddam Hussein was the other thing, because he was of the Ba'ath Party. He was not Islamic. He pretended to be. He said he was, but he wasn't. And Islam is on a revolution of bringing back Islam as it was in the days of Muhammad. And he was not one of those followers.
Yeah.
Just like the other ones they've ousted. So, but we just did it. We did it. We got rid of him. But as far as Babylon, he did have a vision of rebuilding Babylon, but he had the vision that he would be the new Nebuchadnezzar. He stamped his name in some of the bricks that were being built to restore the city.
Oh.
Yeah, he stamped his name alongside of Nebuchadnezzar. So.
Oh.
Because he wanted to be, but a lot of people think that because he was stopped, that was a sign that no, Babylon is not going to be rebuilt. That only was, I think, you know, one of those things that a deterring of time, you know, that it wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
But it didn't necessarily
stop. I saw this story a while back about them rebuilding Babylon and Saddam Hussein was doing it. I was amazed because I never thought it would really be rebuilt.
You know, and I thought too, when he did have his demise, I did think in my mind, I thought, well, there goes Babylon. It's not going to be rebuilt. But the UN took over where Saddam Hussein left off. They took the project on themselves. And so, there is talk right now that they want to move the United Nations and what's here in the United States over to Babylon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh,
there's
that
talk
would be
right
interesting. Oh, sure.
That would give reason.
That would
for
probably be the right place for it.
But unfortunately, that's going to be part of it, but that's not what I see even really coming to pass, really. I see something different that's more ominous coming because of what is happening in the Middle East and what is happening according to Israel and according to the feel of the land right now and what is Iraq saying about Babylon. We are saying that we want to rebuild it. We are saying we want it to be a hub for all of the countries. But there's another group that is saying that they are going to make it their political power. They're just using us right now to help restore it. So, Yes.
That sounds like something they would do, yes.
Correct.
Someone asked a question here in the chat room. Do you all think that when the destruction of Babylon is spoken of, that it is talking about the literal historic city, or if the name is used symbolically?
Well, besides Israel or Jerusalem, I should say. Babylon is used over 300 times in the scripture.
Oh, yeah. It's quite a bit. I was surprised.
Babylon has always, in the Old Testament, been a real city. Jerusalem has always been, in the Old Testament, a real city, a literal city. And it seems that it's coming full circle. In Revelation, they're talking about this city, while Jerusalem and the temple is a real city in Revelation. Of course, the New Jerusalem is a real city coming down from heaven. It's not symbolic of something other than what it is. So why would all the times that we talked about, except for Mystery Babylon, that's a little bit different, the city of Babylon, why would it all of a sudden in one last book of the Bible become figurative and not literal? Why would it? You know, that doesn't really make any sense, you know, when you do biblical exegesis and proper hermeneutics of scripture. It really doesn't go together with how the Bible to be interpreted.
Tell us a little bit about Mystery Babylon.
Mystery Babylon is a little bit more difficult to identify because it is more figurative. It's not as much a literal city as though it is a world power or a world entity or a world spiritual condition.
Yeah, really, kind of a religion even. Mystery Babylon.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of those things that, you know, I don't even want to predict what I think about it because we really don't know yet. There's talk about that Mecca could be that spiritual Babylon. It could be Jerusalem itself. It could be, who knows, if Babylon is literally rebuilt, it could, you know, have that there, or it could be Babel. You know, it's anyone throughout the years have identified Mystery Babylon as some entity of whatever the condition of the time was. So Mystery Babylon is a little bit harder to define today as it is watching what is happening in Iraq with the city of Babylon coming up from the desert. So, and I know that for me, I'm thinking, okay, so how is this going to happen? And I know a lot of people are saying, well, it can't happen if it is even going to happen until we're gone. But I just see that, you know, things are happening. And I just want to watch and see what's, you know, I'm just, you know, I had a dream last night, actually, that I was being persecuted and was going to suffer for my faith. And I haven't had a dream like for years. So I don't know if it's because I was thinking about doing this show today. And so,
well,
I
noticed that some of the comments I get on my YouTube channel, especially if I made a YouTube video about T.D. Jakes, and I get the most vile comments, and I think, yikes, some of these people claim to be Christians, but they wouldn't talk to their pastor like that. But people will become more and more radical over their beliefs. And yes, the true believers that stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe we will be persecuted. Christians are persecuted in other parts of the world, more so than they are yet in this country. But we're going to stand out like sore thumbs eventually, even more so. And
even more so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even more so. As it gets darker and we get lighter.
Right. Well,
our light shines brighter.
Yeah. And if it is the empire of the Antichrist, then he is going to go after both Christians and Jews both. And so we have to be prepared if we're going to be here. I mean, I hope that I'm not, but I don't know. We can't predict the day and the hour.
No.
And I always say that, one of my biggest phrases today that I like to say is that, you know, write your charts on cheap paper so it's easy to rip them up. Because we plan our ways, we think that it's going to happen this, and then we see something happen and we'll say, well, it can't be that. It can't actually happen that way because this has to happen first. And then we start getting in predicting what's going to happen when, and then people stop listening to us because we are jumping ahead or we think we have it all when we see in part and we know in part.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
We can say what we think. We can, you know, say, I think that this and this may happen, but, you know, it might not. You know,
right.
We're not God, so we don't
That's
know.
That's right. That's right. We're not God, so yes. We see through glass darkly, so that's not too, we don't see too much.
Mm-hmm.
And God keeps it that way because then again, people will try to build the Tower of Babel and God came and confused the languages. So God sends confusion. Many people
right.
in the Word of Faith movement used to say, oh, no, God's not the author of confusion. Well, he sent confusion at Babylon and confused the language.
Yes, he did. And, you know, if people want to see pictures, they can just go to Google Earth and look at Babylon and what's going on there.
Oh.
You know, Babylon can be seen amazingly, scarily from Google Earth, and you can actually see what they're doing there, and you can see the building that's going on. They're finishing, I don't know if they're finishing it yet, but they're getting ready to finish this stadium that they've made there, and you can see that from the Google Earth. You can see the structures they're putting up in that area right next to the Euphrates River. So those of you who want to look and see what they're doing, just use our technology and go there and look. they're actually trying to restore everything according to what Babylon was.
So how do they know what it was? Do they have any paintings or are they excavating the old ruins?
Yeah, they're excavating there. They haven't been able to excavate for years because the water table is too high, which is another prophecy says that when Babylon is destroyed, there will no longer be any water. It will be dry. The water below Babylon has been, because it's right near the river. But it says that when God destroys it, no inhabitants will live there at all, and there would be no water. It would be dry. And it hasn't been there since that time. And it hasn't happened yet. And that's why there isn't a whole lot of excavation. So, but apparently they know because they're showing some of these plots. I do have pictures in front of me that they're actually copying what was there to restore it. So, yeah.
Well, that'll be interesting. I would like to see it in all
you'd
its
like
glory.
To see it?
Well, I'd like to see what,
really?
What they're going to do because it apparently it was a very beautiful city.
And I think we will surprisingly see it if it goes up as quickly as the buildings have been going up, like in Dubai, watching that city kind of come to life.
Oh yeah.
But it's also frightening at the same time, you know.
Yeah, it's frightening, but it's just that how to rebuild an ancient city is always interesting to look at because, of course, the architecture is so different from what we have in the buildings today. So when you're looking at old buildings and the architecture is magnificent, the structures, how they built it, so that's interesting. But, yeah,
it's
frightening,
interesting,
too.
And that's what's going to draw people. Was attention, and actually, we didn't even think about it until the U.S. went into Iraq and liberated it from Saddam Hussein. I don't know if we actually liberated it because now Islam is in Iraq, and they have their own plans.
Yeah.
They have their own plans on what they're going to do. They're excited. So, yeah, and why we as a country are giving money to Iraq, who is
well, the Muslims giving money to support the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, yeah, I know. We supported the rebels. You know who the rebels are? The rebels are the Muslim Brotherhood. Woohoo!
Yeah.
In Libya. That's who the rebels are. That's why they're saying, well, we don't know who they are. Yes, we did. We knew who they were. We just didn't want to tell people. We're crazy to give the Muslim Brotherhood a benefit of the doubt because the Muslim Brotherhood has never been for the West ever since they were created.
They can't be. They can't be. They'd be going against the Quran, so of course not. They can't be. It's just it's foolish. It really is foolishness, but I happened to tune into a program, if it was last night or the night before, that was on, and they were talking about the Muslim Brotherhood, and they showed a clip of one of the top government officials, our government, saying, well, you don't really have to worry about them because they're just a group of people with some kind of ideas. And I thought he has to be lying. I mean, there's no way he's telling the truth.
Who? One of our officials or the?
Yeah,
or
one of the top. I'll see if I could find it for you, and I'll email it to you later. But it was I think the head of national security. It was some very important official, and. The statement he made was beyond belief. I said, truly, he can't be telling the truth. He can't be. But.
Well, I think, I don't know, I think we're stupid. I'm sorry. I do. I think we are because we just want, we want it to be what we want it to be, and it's not going to be what we want it to
be.
Well,
it's not going to be that way. They have a violent history. They have a very violent history. They went for years trying to take over countries. And they came with
Egypt.
The sword.
Egypt.
Yeah.
They were born in Egypt. In 1929, Hassan al-Banna, he was the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he was outlawed and made illegal by the Egyptian government because he tried to oust the Egyptian government back then. He, from the very start, they've been that way. And, you know, they say that, they're now admitting that they're not going to recognize Israel. Well, they've never recognized Israel.
No, and they never
the start. Will. Why are we saying that they're not
they
admitting
can't.
It?
They can't recognize Israel. They can't.
They've never recognized Israel,
no,
and they
never
will recognize Israel.
They never
and
will.
So.
They can't.
Yeah, so.
No, they can't. It's just like the Pope, the Catholic Church wouldn't recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel either. Well, and, you know, people didn't think that was strange. Well, there was a reason for that because they wanted it because they want to prove that they're the so-called one true church So they prized Jerusalem. They've always prized it. But, of course,
right.
They're not going to have it. But let's just finish up. We have about 10 minutes left. Some of the scriptures in the Bible, and especially in the book of Revelation, about Babylon
mm-hmm.
being thrown down, Babylon is fallen. Could you talk about some of that?
In Revelation?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. where it says, and I saw a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. That's Revelation 17. In this city, the blood of the martyrs will be shed. And here is a mind that has wisdom, the seven heads of the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. So that's talking about, this is actually talking about Mystery Babylon. But when it says that in Revelation that Babylon will fall, and it's a direct destruction made by God on this city. You have to bring it full circle from the time of Nimrod in history to where it is going to be in the future, because what's going to happen is God is bringing to end that which started back in our rebellion
yeah.
from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And so he is completing the judgment on sin for those who, of course, don't get me wrong, everybody who's listening, Jesus finished the judgment on sin. But those who have not accepted Jesus, there is still that judgment that will come. That's
yeah.
what Revelation is all about. In Genesis 10 and 11, you see the Tower of Babel, and then Jerusalem is first mentioned in Genesis 14. Then in Revelation 17 and 18, you have Babylon again. And in Revelation 21 and 22, you have the New Jerusalem. So you have, you know, it's like he's coming full circle in judgment upon the kingdom of these earth, the false worship of mankind, because he is going to climactically end this system of things and bring the New Jerusalem. All things will be new. The great city that rules over the earth in Revelation 17 in the end times will be the mother of harlotry. And that is not necessarily saying that it's going to worship all these religions all in one place. Mother of harlotry is actually one that has, throughout the centuries, has from it come all religions other than the one true God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so
the mother has her children.
Correct. And it's not necessarily that it's all going to be in one city. I think as the church, we think, wow, it's going to be all these religions combined together as one. And it's not necessarily going to be that way.
Yeah.
I believe
yeah.
that it can even be a religion that believes in one God under the vibe that is in opposition to the God of the scriptures. So it can be a different God that is other than God himself. It
yeah.
doesn't matter. And it's going to be, say that this is the God of gods. This is the, you know, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no other God but this God, which is not necessarily all the religions together. It would be really great to do a discussion on what's happening with the all the religions that are coming together in Austria, where King Abdullah is overseeing all of these other religions, which I think is kind of an oxymoron, because King Abdullah is Islamic.
And yeah.
Islam, if they become in power, they will crush every religion other than Islam.
Yes.
He's lying. He's got to be lying. And Islam will do that. When they don't have the upper hand, they are told in the Quran that it's okay to lie. It's okay to deceive.
Because they have one motive. They have one motive to convert everybody to Islam. So it is like the Catholic Church, because they said it was okay to lie to people, and their goal is to convert everybody back to what they call the one true church, the mother church, another mother of harlots. But then again, you see, yes, because he's not a stupid man, King Abdullah.
And I don't want to call him that either. I think
he's smart,
and he is of the country that is the birthplace of Islam. So he knows it in Arabic. He knows Arabic, and Islam at its core is those who are pure Islam, the true Islam. He is of that. He's not like some of these other nation states that they're trying to get rid of their leaders.
So actually, he has come through that bloodline, and the bloodline has not been corrupted. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. It's just that true Islam today is you have to read the Quran in Arabic. If you don't read the Quran in Arabic, then that's why you get all these other forms of Islam that we see in the United States.
They think
those of those in the United States who are moderate are infidels. That's
right.
They're infidels because they're not walking the true Islam. True Islam has six pillars, not five. The sixth pillar being jihad, which is both military, politically, economically, religiously, all of that. That is jihad, and it's to force people in submission to Islam. So he's
he's
the king.
In the United States have the five calls to prayer. They actually have people doing their whatever that chant is that they do, and this is in American cities, so everybody in the neighborhood has to listen to it.
Right. Yeah. And they have a whole plan here. So I'm kind of off Babylon though, but and a lot of people, when I was growing up and I was studying about the last days, I was, they were saying, oh, it's the United States that's is Babylon. The U.S. is Babylon because we're a rich country, and we have been a harlot to all the nations with all of our luxuries and things like that. So there was that where the United States was. But the United States is not really – there's not a whole lot said in the scriptures regarding us. So either – we're not here, or we're not influential.
There is a good book online about that, about the United States being Babylon. I can't remember the name of it. It's by Jack Hook, but it is about Babylon. But I think you can read it for free online. But it was very interesting. I thought he did a good job with the information that he put out there. I'd have to look it over again, but we just have about a minute left, and I want to thank you, Brenda, for coming on. Always interesting talking with you, and I think, that would be a great program to do. I think I touched on it a little bit with Christine in one program about King Abdullah. She had mentioned what was going on in Austria, which I think most people are totally unaware of.
Right. Yeah, and I think so. But they're going to be more and more aware of it because Islam is saying they're not going to be quiet. Their whole point is to Islamicize the world, which is funny because why would Abdullah be doing this then? I know why, because I know Islam, so I know why he's doing it.
Well, yeah,
I really know.
He's got other things to do besides hosting an ecumenical movement in Austria.
But it's all about taking the upper hand. That's all it is.
Sure.
That's
like a wolf. You don't know it's a wolf sometimes until they bite you.
Iran is the creators of the game chess, they are the ones who came up with the game chess. So, you know, they all think like that.
Yeah.
They want to checkmate the world. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like they know what they're doing. They're doing it for a reason. And I know I wish we were smarter than that. So, but Babylon is going to be interesting to watch what's happening because of the push to, you know, the whole thing with the UN here in the United States is the fact that our offices are too small. They don't feel that, they feel it's overcrowded. So they have to build something bigger and better. And they're thinking about doing that in Babylon, which will be centrally located for everyone. And
yeah.
It will be in the Middle East, and Islam will be happy with that. They'll be really, really happy because it's in their territory.
Yeah.
They'll have control over it. And so when you have control over something, you have the upper hand.
Oh, yes. Well,
and
that's what it's all about is control. Oh, dear. Well, I want to thank you so much, Brenda, for coming on today.
You're welcome.
And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I always love to have you. I always learn something new. I didn't know about Manasseh. Now I know that was a good thing that I learned today, that Manasseh was born Hezekiah's son and was one of the most wicked kings. But anyway, thank you. God bless you, and we'll do it again. I'll send you that link.
Okay.
I'd look for it. Okay,
thank you, everybody,
for tuning in today. And God bless you. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you. You can be born again today. The Bible says you must be born again. It's not enough to just say, I know about Jesus, or I heard about Jesus, or yes, I love Jesus. But you have to be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born of the Spirit of God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Repent of your sins. He will forgive you of any sin, and he'll make you a new creature. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. So ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today. Ask him to make himself real to you. And he will give you a brand new life. He's real. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to the city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's there on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.